course, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, it's good. You heard the pastor say, my name is Dale Morey from Liberty Behind Bars Ministry. We have a jail and prison ministry, but we are not just the average jail and prison ministry. We would do a whole lot more, that's why it's called Liberty Behind Bars and Beyond. Okay, because many go into the jails and prisons, which we're thankful for, because I am a product of a jail and prison ministry. It was the first time that I started hearing about Jesus Christ outside of a curse word was in jail and prison, was in an institution. And so I'm very thankful for those who go in there. But then we have those, we need to work with them as they get out. You know, you heard the saying, you can either feed the person for the day or you can teach them to fish and they'll learn how to feed for the rest of their lives. Well, same things with, we can teach them things while they're in jail and prison, but what about when they come home? You know, hey, most people aren't working to even get them in a church. Yeah. We need to get them in a church where they can sit underneath the preaching of the Bible and they can sit there and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, a lot of them I invite them, but they don't want to come. Don't give up hope, because I was invited a whole lot of times and didn't come. But I thank God that they never gave up on me. I thank God that the Holy Ghost of God continued to move in my heart and draw me unto himself. And I thank God that I was obedient and I listened and I believed and ended up getting born again. And I thank God for what he's done in my life. And now he's called us back into that jail and prison ministry. And there's a whole lot that I can talk about. Or you can grab the information that's back there on the table and see just about what we do. Because there's a whole lot of things that we do. And there's a whole lot of things that God is opening doors for us to do in there. One thing I want to do is preach the hope of Jesus Christ to them. I don't want to go in there with religion. Go in there with the hope of Jesus Christ, knowing that they can have a changed and different life. And I just tell you this, the men and women love when we come in there because they realize that I've been where they're at. They realize that I've been through what they've been through, that I know and understand their thoughts. You see, that's how God originally started with missions. Moses, he called them back to his people to deliver them from Israel. Amen. And that's what God has done with me. He saved me from the jail life lifestyle, and now he's put me back to my people. My people are in jail and prison. Just as pastor calls you his people, I call those that are in jail and prison my people. Mm-hmm. I love them like the pastor loves you. I care for them more than just me sitting in front of them. I care for them while I'm at home. I pray for them. I fast for them. Not only that, but we also work with their families. Why? Because we want their families involved. Yeah. My goodness, what a help it is to have family members involved in getting them straight. Thank God for my wife. God sent me a wife that helped me transition. She helped me get out of that lifestyle into it. And now she grew up on the different side. She grew up in East Aurora, New York, which is, you know, where the uppity ups live. I'm just being real, okay? And I come from the streets. And so God just brought us together. But it was her. It was God showing me. Hey, I didn't believe in such thing as a human love. Anybody who ever told me that they loved me, they hurt me. They abused me. They did things to me that should not be done to people. And then God sent a woman my way to show me that there is such a thing as human love. And I tried for 10 years to abuse her, use her, mess her up, call her all kinds of names. And she got to the point where she would pray, God, would you kill them? Because she didn't want to leave me. And then God sent a man our way to start preaching that Bible to us. And you know what? He did answer her prayer. He killed that old Dale Moore and gave her the husband she needed. Thank God for that. We want to give glory to his name for what he's done in that life. And he saved that marriage. And thank God for he done that. But you know, we thank God for what he's done. And now we want that same for those people that are in jail and prison. How wonderful it's going to be to see these men and women be able to come home. Hey, we're in the last days, man. That trump, me and brother here, we were just talking. That trump can sound right now as we sit here.
Amen.
Right. Woo! Brother, I'm going to heaven. You know, sometimes I get stirred up when I get to preaching, and I get loud, right? But we all, you know, like football, NASCAR, we can get loud there, but don't get loud during preaching. I like loud. Let's just go ahead and let the Holy Ghost do what he's going to do. And if you don't like shouting, let me just say this. Go read the back of your book in Revelation and see what they're doing all over the place. Shout.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, we're gonna be shouting. We're gonna be shouting in heaven together, brother. Amen. Thank God for that. I thank God for shouting. But anyway, I'm still excited about the things of God. I'm still excited about what He's done and is doing in our lives. And I just want to preach for a few minutes here this morning about being brought from a prisoner to being made a king.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
How about that? Jesus Christ, God Almighty, looked down from heaven. And when society and when people said, looked at me and said, there's no hope for him, Jesus Christ stood up and said, no, Father, there is. I am his hope.
Amen.
I have hope tattooed on my knuckles here. Now, I'm not into tattoos. I don't get into tattoos. I hate the ones that I have. After I got saved, I said, Lord, why are you going to leave these stinking, rotten things on me? Can't you take them off of me? And the Lord said, they're your testimony.
Amen.
You just leave them right there. And so I've gotten used to the stinking things, but I don't like them. But I used to have hate tattooed on my knuckles. H-A-T-E. And people always say, well, why do you have your name on your knuckles and hate on the other side? I said, so you know who knocked you out and the reason why I knocked you out. Okay? Because I hated people. I hated people. I hated them with every single thing that was inside of me. Because all I ever seen people as was people who wanted to hurt. That they were coming after me because as a little boy, I was molested by a man. It took him and bred bitterness inside of me and embedded hatred inside of me. And then I had a woman babysitter come along who started doing that same thing to me. And no, it wasn't cool that I was molested by a woman. There's nothing cute about that. There's nothing funny about being molested by a woman. I'm going to tell you this. My mother was an abuser. Her boyfriends would sit there and put our fingertips on hot burners and burn our fingertips. We would have to kneel on raw rice. Go kneel on some raw rice for a while and tell me how that feels on your kneecaps. And we'd sit there on that stuff until our kneecaps bled. That's my childhood. But you know what that didn't do? That didn't make me who I was. That was just fuel added to the fire of the sin nature that I already had inside of me. And man, I'll tell you, when that gas hit that sin nature, it was off and running. That became very hateful because that was my love. I showed love by fighting my friends. I showed love by beating women. I showed love by abandoning children. Everything hurt. Everything that I could go against Jesus Christ, I did. I used to write songs about chopping his mother up on the table of sacrifice. I was very satanic. I was living for the devil. I was doing, as the Bible says, as my father did. I lived that. I didn't just talk about it. I lived it. Read the Necronomicon, the book written by Anton LaVey. It's a book of curses. It's a satanic religion. That's their Bible. And I would read that thing and try to put curses on people. We'd go into the cemeteries and try to do animal sacrifices. Why? Because I was bred on hatred. You see, that bitterness is poison.
Sir.
That hatred, people say, oh, there's no hatred in people. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. I'm telling you, man, that hatred and that bitterness is what protected me. And then I would go out there and take that same hatred and bitterness and I would unleash it on somebody else because I found myself, when I hurt other people, I got relief. I got relief by me physically hurting other people. That was my love. So much so that people just shut me out. No family phone numbers. Nobody invite me over for Thanksgivings. Nobody invite me over for Christmases. I was just out there on my own, by myself. Me and the devil, man. Me and the sin nature. Out there running with the gang, trying to get that next fix. How am I going to be alive tomorrow? Who's going to shoot me today? Who's going to stab me the next day? What jail am I going to end up in? What prison am I going to end up in? No ID on me whatsoever. If somebody were to kill me, they would have no clue who I was. They just left me for dead.
But God.
Did everything I could against God. And yet God in his mercy. Let me just say this. Brother, God in his mercy. As I was that man, Jesus Christ died for me. He didn't die for me when I became a goody two-shoe. He died for me when I was his enemy. He died for me when I was out there living contrary to who he is. He died for me in that time that I was satanic. He died for me in that time when I had hatred and bitterness inside of me. That's when he died for me.
Amen.
He died for me, his enemy.
Yes.
And today, 12 going on 13 years later, he's got me preaching the King James Bible.
Hallelujah.
Ain't that something? The same one that I hated. He went to that cross and he died for me. And when he died and rose again the third day, he rose again for my justification.
Amen. Yeah, good.
That I can be forgiven.
Yes, yes.
All those things I've done, man, I thought, how would I ever get rid of this, you see? Because when the conscience starts functioning again, and by the way, I had a dead conscience. I had a seared conscience. May I ask, what do you think made that conscience come back to life? The Holy Ghost with the preaching of the King James Bible.
Right.
Amen.
There ain't no medicine going to do that for anybody. There ain't no rehab, no mental hospital. None of that's going to make the conscience come back to where God wants it. It's going to be the preaching of that Bible that awakens that conscience up to what it needs to be. But let me tell you this. When that thing awakens up, it's painful. It hurts. And who's going to teach them how to handle that? That conscience has been dead for so long. When things start bothering them again, they don't know how to handle it. We want to be there for them.
Yes.
We want to teach them because I've been there. When that preaching started happening to me and my conscience started coming back to life and the Holy Ghost was moving in my life, it was hard for me to handle that. Yes. I would run to the psych doctor. Please help me. I'm suicidal. I need something to sleep. And they load me up with whatever I wanted to have. And then they give me and then I go out there and drink alcohol, take all kinds of illegal drugs on top of that. And then I had a man come by and tell me, Dale, he said, I know your past. And he goes, just like somebody come up there, if they would have punched you in your face, you wouldn't have just sat there and took that. You would have got up and fought. He said, now get up and face your conscience. He said, the Holy Ghost of God knows exactly what he's doing if you'll start trusting.
That's right.
It wasn't long after that I ended up getting saved, born again.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Clean and clear conscience. You know what? I don't need nothing to go to sleep at night. I don't drink myself to sleep. I don't even need a baby aspirin to go to sleep. Ain't that wonderful?
Praise God.
Destroyed my body out there. I had 16 neck and back surgeries. I got metal from my neck all the way through my back and my arm. How much pain medicine do you think I take? Zero.
Right.
Zero. You go, why do you do that? I'm tired of watching my people die from that nonsense.
Yeah.
Tired of watching my people die from that. And I can't look at them with a clean and clear conscience, brother, and tell them that Jesus Christ can deliver them and get them through anything if I'm sitting there taking it myself.
That's right. Come on.
You know what it says? God's grace is sufficient for me. Paul didn't have that nonsense, did he?
No,
he didn't. You go, are you against pain medicine? I'm not. I really am not. Not against pain medicine when it's used properly.
That's right.
That stuff can be a help.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, some of my best drug dealers were doctors.
Come on.
Really?
Feed me anything that I wanted, man. I need this and I need that. Man, they would just give it to me and give it to me and give it to me and give it to me. They keep me high, and then you go in jail and prison, and you know you can still get drugs and such in there, but not, it's costing a whole lot more. So we'll just go to the psych doctor and let them keep us high.
Right.
Yeah. Seroquels and Senequan, they keep you high on anything you want in that place. As long as they don't have to deal with you. Well, 13 years ago, I ran into the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's changed my whole life.
Amen.
It's turned my whole world upside down, and I thank God for it. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings real quick. We'll spend a few minutes here on the most important thing. That's the Bible, not my God. Hey, listen, I'm not here glorifying my past.
Right.
I'm glorifying what Jesus Christ has done to a man.
Amen.
to take me from, me and my friend, we have a joke. They say, you know, God reached down and what we call each other Bob, bottom of the barrel. Okay, God reached down to the bottom of the barrel and pulled me and him out of the miry and pulled us out. You ever read in your Bible, you ever notice that God's hand is outstretched to the sinners?
Yeah.
He's not like, he doesn't act like we do to people we know are lost. Oh, Bill, I don't know if I can touch that person, they stink. I don't know if I want to be around that person. No, here's God. Here's my hand. Take my hand. It's outstretched. My goodness, he went to the cross. Hey, let me ask you this. I'm an ex-convict. How much more blood did it take to save me than you? Zero. Same cross. Brother, if I remember correctly, at Calvary, the ground is equal.
Yeah, right.
There is no level of sin in God's eyes. We put levels of sin. Sin is sin. A white lie can send somebody to hell just as much as the lifestyle that I live. But do you know it wasn't my lifestyle that would have sent me to hell? It's my sin nature.
Yeah. Right, come on.
It's me being a rebel and a lawbreaker against the holy God. That's what God holds against people, not the things that we do. You know why it took me so long to get saved? Because I would come to the altar, Lord, I'm sorry for being a drug addict. Lord, I'm sorry for being... And that's not what God held against me. What he held against me is that I was a rebel against him. The Bible says, David said, I've sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned.
That's right.
I didn't sin against a human being. I was sinning against God. I was breaking his laws. It was this where I became guilty. Paul says this, the law shows us what we are. It's the laws of God that shows us that we need a Savior. What is the good news if you don't know that you need to be saved?
Come on.
When you stand before a judge to get sentenced, you want to know what you're being accused of. Well, here it is, right here in our hands. And when you really realize what you're being accused of and what you're going to be sentenced for, you see, brother, if people really understood the condemnation of God, the problem today is nobody has a fear of hell.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Watching TV shows and what has it done? It's desensitized people to hell.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this right now. Hell is real and eternity is long.
Amen.
I don't care how many satanic shows they put out there.
Amen.
Don't believe that no more. Brother, you know, in Auburn, let's just say they brought back the death penalty. They have it, but they don't use it. Mm-hmm. But in Auburn is where they used to kill people as well.
Right.
Very good. Could you imagine when those people get sentenced to death? Mm-hmm. What do? Just sit there and cross their arms?
Yeah.
No, they fight for their life.
Yeah. Yep.
If people in this room really understood their condemnation to Jesus Christ, they'd fight for their soul, but they don't. They play Russian roulette. Maybe I'll just have another day. Maybe I'll just play religion one more time.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you something. Who promised you to walk out that door today?
Nobody.
I know a church that a month ago, a lost woman, her and her husband started coming to church. Brother, she walked up to the pastor, and she said, sir, I will see you next week. They walked out that door and got killed in an accident.
Oh, man.
Yep.
So what makes you think that you're going to walk out of here and be okay?
Come on.
Not sure.
I'll tell you right now, without Christ, you will not be okay.
Amen.
What you suffered here on earth will be nothing compared to what you suffer in eternity.
That's right.
Forever and ever and ever.
Brother, how many people you think believe in hell that are in hell today?
Every one of them.
Every single person that's in hell today believes there's a hell.
That's right.
How many of them today believe that King James Bible is the Word of God? Every single one of them believe that King James Bible is the Word of God. How many people, imagine this room full of people today, sister, and how many people are in hell today saying, please send somebody to warn my family not to go there.
Yes.
Go on.
Yes.
Can't believe the Bible and not believe in hell. Jesus Christ preached on it more than anybody.
Yes, he did.
Why?
Warning.
Before he came.
For a warning.
Pastor, do you know there are people in hell today who are paying a price that Jesus Christ already paid?
Yeah.
That don't have to be. That doesn't have to be. Now, I don't know why I got on this subject, but I'm going to go ahead and just follow what God wants me to say. And I'm just going to say this. If you're lost in here today, you don't have to pay that price.
Right, come on.
It's already been paid.
Yep.
Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it.
Amen.
My word is just as good as yours. However good your word is, that's how good my word is. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a word that's better than anybody's, and that's that King James Bible.
Amen.
I believe that with my whole heart.
Amen. Amen.
Well, 2 Kings chapter 25, look at this. 2 Kings chapter 25. We'll start in verse 27 of 2 Kings. I just want to talk a little bit about being brought from a prisoner to a king. It's a picture of Christ and what he does to lost people. And verse 27 of 2 Kings, chapter 25 and 27, and it said, it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of captivity, that's the 30th and 7th year, of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 20th month, on the 7th and 20th day of that month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. Notice that Jesus Christ, listen, when anybody came in contact with Jesus Christ, did he leave them the same?
No.
They were always different when they left his presence.
That's right.
People say, well, we can't walk up to Jesus Christ today. Let me correct you on that. We sure can. It's right here.
Right.
That woman with the issue of blood.
Yep.
12 years she suffered that. 12 years she's going out and spent all that she had. For 12 years she's going to the what instead of Jesus? The physicians.
Yep. Come on.
Tell me that's not prevalent today.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a doctor for this and a doctor for that. Got a doctor for your toenail, got a doctor for your cuticles and everything else. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's okay to go to Jesus for something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's okay to go to him for something. Well, guess what? She finally done. You know what? She had to come to the end of herself, brother.
Yep.
After she done everything that she could to try to get away, because according to Leviticus chapter 15, she's unclean. She's beyond that time. She has that issue of blood. That means she has to be set apart by herself. She can't be around anybody. That's a prison, wouldn't you say so? What about the addicts that are in prison today? What about them that are on the streets today? Do you know that somebody has a needle in their arm today and they're about to die? I'm going to say that. I used to be a hip-hop guy back in the days. And Tupac Shakur said this. He said, you ain't got to be in prison to be doing time. Auburn was nothing compared to the prison that I was in on the out on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And here's this woman spending all that she has, going to see all the physicians. And you know what it says? That she heard of this man Jesus. Yeah. What did she do? She heard of this man, Jesus Christ. So she crossed her arms and said, well, somebody's got to send me help. That's not what she did. She kicked that door open. She thronged the crowd. And she said, I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to get to him. Because if I get to Jesus, I can be made half.
No.
She said, I can be made whole.
Yes, right.
Jesus don't leave anybody half.
That's right.
Right.
No. Look to God, we can get people to know they can get to Jesus Christ and be made whole.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
Gets to Jesus Christ. She says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Here it is, my friend. Here's the hem of his garment. All glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for his mercy to look down upon man and send us the hem of his garment that we can touch it today as a lost person. And that we don't have to go out there and search and seek everything. Whether it be a religious physician or a physician that's trying to heal the body or those things that are trying to heal the mind. I'm going to tell you now, psych medicine won't heal your mind because you need a change of heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. 16 psychotropic pills a day I was on. 16. When one didn't work, they put me on another. When that one didn't work, they put me on another. Well, hallelujah. How come nobody told me to get to Jesus Christ so he can heal my conscience and I wouldn't need them anymore? Woo! How many you think I take today? Brother, I've never seen so many Baptists on mental medication and they're supposed to have Jesus and happy.
Sure.
Come on.
You go, you don't believe? And mental health, I do, but not everybody in America is mentally ill. That's called their conscience. That's called the sin nature that's killing them.
That's right.
And instead of going to Jesus Christ, they want to go to a doctor who just numbs it.
Right.
Keeps them numb. Keeps them numb to the Holy Ghost of God moving in their lives.
Amen. That's it. He's the key.
That's right. So this woman, she finally gives it all up and gets to Jesus Christ. She said, if I can get to Jesus, I'll be made whole. She touches the hem of his garment. That should have made Jesus unclean, but it didn't. Why? Because he's the law. He's the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
He's been made sin for us.
Yep.
He takes that. And what's the transaction that takes place? Her uncleanness goes into him, and his what? Virtue comes into her. May I just break your bubble? We're not born virtuous people. We're born sinners.
Yeah.
We're born sinners from the womb, the Bible says. We're liars as soon as we come out of the womb. We have that sin nature that comes out with us. And thank God for his mercy, who doesn't hold us accountable until the age of accountability. But then you're on your own. Now you have to answer for it. People say, how do you know everybody's born with a sin nature? Well, let me ask you this. Do you have to teach children how to do the right thing or the bad thing? You have to teach them how to do right because they're naturally born knowing how to do all the wrong. And so God in his mercy, she touches and takes away the uncleanness. And remember, she went to Jesus Christ with her what? Issue. Her issue. Issue in your Bible, 99% of the time, is talking about a physical outward thing that happens to a person or a physical sickness that happens to a person. You know what Jesus Christ tells her? He said, woman, your faith has made you whole of your plague.
That's right.
What's the plague? The sin nature. He just healed her sin nature. Look, if Jesus Christ would have just healed her issue, all he would have did is take care of the physical. But because he said, I will make you whole, he went to the plague. You know what happened when he dealt with the heart of the plague? Those issues went away. You know what happened, Amy, when I got saved? When God got into my heart and he got into the plague of why and what I was where I was, guess what went away? The smoking, the games, the drinking, the drugs. Why? Those are only issues. Those are the things that we see outwardly. But there's a real problem on the inside of the person. It's called the plague of the heart. And you know where they're not trying to go? They're not trying to go to Jesus to get that dealt with. They're too busy trying to fix the issues. They're too busy trying to put a Band-Aid on it. Would to God they get to Jesus Christ for that plague to be healed, and then those issues will go away.
Right.
What a prison to be trapped in. Is that what this said here? This king was lifted out of prison. Brother, I thank God that Jesus Christ stepped into my life and spiritually lifted me out of prison as well as physically.
Amen.
And we see this with this king going on here. And he says he did lift him out of prison in verse 28. And what happened to him when he spoke kindly to him? I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you this right now. 13 years ago, you know what words I heard? It was the most kindest words I ever heard. Peace, be still.
Amen.
Do you know how long it's been since I had any peace in my life? And then when Jesus Christ stepped in, he said, peace, be still. I'm going to tell you today, that was some of the kindest words I ever heard in my life.
Amen.
You know what happened? For the first time in my life, I started functioning on a clean conscience. Because he said peace. Oh, they were kind words, brother. And I mean, you know, he didn't just stop there, Amy. He said, you're forgiven. Hallelujah. Oh, you can't get any more kinder words than that. Or maybe you just don't realize the depth of your sin. Brother, I think people have forgotten about where Jesus Christ has saved them out of. I'm sorry, but I can't forget about what he's brought me from. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of religious people have grown up in church. And they, you needed that, Dale.
Amen.
Oh, no, you needed Jesus Christ just as much as me, if not even more, because of your religiousness. He says the Pharisees are going to pay a greater price. That religious nonsense that people pull in church. Thinking they're okay.
Yeah.
It's just men like me that need to be saved. My wife has a wonderful testimony. You ought to read it. It's out there. She grew up Catholic, a good little Catholic girl. Good according to the world. I said, honey, we've got to use your testimony for those women that are in prison. She goes, what good is my testimony going to be? According to the world, she's been good. I said, honey, because they only think that people like me need to be saved. They don't understand that people like you need to be saved. Good, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens need to be saved.
Amen.
They need Jesus just as well as a convict
does. That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Jesus Christ will come in and he'll speak those words. My pastor has 8 children, and I think 7 of them now are just getting saved. And they're all in their 30s and almost 40 years old. Been arrested, been in prison, arrested for sex charges and everything else. His one son, his oldest son, did 18 years in the penitentiary for raping his brothers and sisters.
But God...
But God and his word, how many of you would have that person back in their life again? He's back, joined up with his family. Been born again, forgiven. And they're a closer family today than they've ever been. But do you believe in the forgiveness of Christ? Or would you go, no way, I'd never have that person again? You go ahead and challenge your heart on that. You go ahead and see if Jesus Christ can't save somebody that has sex charges just as well as somebody who grew up in church. No him and haw about it. It's a reality. It changes people.
Permanently.
He takes them from that prison and he speaks those words to them. Again, it doesn't matter what that person has done. We all have the same sin nature.
That's right.
Right.
And he speaks kindly to them and he says, peace.
Amen.
Be still. You're forgiven.
Amen. Amen.
Well, he spake kindly to him in verse 28. And he set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. You know, God likes to take the fools of this world and bring them up. He likes to take those that were down in the gutters and those swamp holes. And he raises them up and then he sends them out. And you know what it does? It astonishes the world. They cannot believe. You go, oh my goodness, what in the world? Because that's what he does. Dr. Dale Moore. God has given me the ability to go to school for 8 years and become a doctor in a biblical counseling. Yeah. Could you imagine that, brother? Could you imagine God taking an ex-convict, somebody who swam in the swamps, the filth pits, and tell them you're saved and born again and raise them out of those prisons and speak those kind words to them. And they go, how do you get into jail and prison with a 17-page rap sheet? Because a man of God came up to me and said, you need to go to school so that the administrations will see you as something. And God allowed me to go to that school and get that doctorate. And now it's opened up doors all over the country for me to come in and preach in prisons. The very prisons that used to hold me now have me in to preach. The very people that were my enemies, correction officers, police officers, you're not going to believe this, they're now my good friends. Is that what God does? Man, some of my best friends are ex-police officers and stuff, but that's just what God does. Hey, they were my enemies. We used to like to fight. Not no more.
Amen.
But it wasn't easy to get there. God had to put me through things. I just want you to know, God had to train me. I didn't go to Bible college to learn Bible.
Come on.
In the book of John, it said that if you will study, that the Holy Ghost will teach me how many things?
All things.
How many books do you think I've read since I've been saved? Maybe one. If you're good. Am I against books? No, but I don't need man's opinion.
Right.
I want God's opinion, brother.
Amen.
I'm not against books. If you read them, here's what I ask a person to do who reads books. At least have the decency to have your Bible open and make sure what they're saying is true.
Amen.
They are humans. My pastor has written some books. And they're good books, and people enjoy them. But I'll tell them, look, if you're going to read my pastor's books, you need to have your Bible open because he's a man.
Sure.
I don't read commentaries. I don't read dictionary word things. I don't read all that stuff. I don't need it. God gave me a Bible. Let me ask you this, brother. Those people who wrote those books, Who gave them what they put in the books?
God.
So why can't he give that to me? Why can't he give that to me?
No.
Oh, it must have been just different for him and not me.
No.
Trust me when I tell you my brain's burned out. It's been burned out. But by the grace of God, he's lifted me up. And now guess what? He's put me up. He's put me in a position today where I sit down, brother, I go into cities and I talk with mayors. I sit down and I talk with high government officials. Why? Because God has trained me to do so. He's put me out there to do those things. Why? Because we have work to do in the ministry. There's souls being hung in the balance.
Yes.
I don't know if you've thought about this in the last 24 hours, but there are lost people dying in hell every second. There are souls that are hanging in the balance that we can reach. But how many of you stay up at night worrying about somebody's soul? You see, the four of us, 1, 2, 3, 4, we are the only ones that are saved in our entire family. They watched my life. They seen my life change, Pastor. Yes. They look at my life and they go, wow. But you know, Dale, you needed that.
Amen.
That's what they think. Well, I'm trying to finish up here. Spent kindly to him and set his throne above the throne in verse 28, above the kings that were with him in Babylon in verse 29. Look what it says. Hallelujah. And he changed his prison garments. Oh, man. To throw away those old, nasty prison garments. Boy, I tell you, when I walked out of prison those years ago, there was nothing like putting on a pair of regular clothes again. But I'm going to tell you, there's one better. When you take off that sin nature and you go ahead and say, Lord, give me that new nature. Give me that new man inside of me. And you can put away those spotted things. Mm-hmm. Put away those garments spotted by the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But I have a God that lives in me to make sure I walk right.
Amen.
Did God not speak this world into existence? He didn't take his hands and form it into a little clay ball. He spoke it into existence. If that God, brother, lives inside a person, that very one who created the heavens and the earth, if he lives in a person, you mean to tell me he has a problem changing them? How can he be such a big God and leave a person in the same position they've always been?
Uh-uh.
He doesn't.
Sure.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says that thou therefore if is a big word in the King James Bible. Because it can go either way. Maybe you are or maybe you're not. He says, if a man be in Christ, he might be.
Oh
no, he could be. He is. He is. That means present tense. He is a new creature, not a new creation. I'm not a new creation. I'm a human being, but I'm a new creature. Why am I a new creature? Because now I have Christ living inside of me. I am something that existed that never existed until the day I got saved. And now I'm new. And guess what happens? Old things
die.
And all things become
new.
Is the Bible a lie or is it the truth?
Truth.
Then tell me.
Amen.
Pastor, when Jesus Christ stepped into me, you don't think I knew that?
Amen.
You don't think that today I still know that I have the Holy God living inside of me and those things that he doesn't like that he kicks to the curb? Because why? All things pass away. And behold, all things become new. How many things? Some things.
All things.
That's right. Come on.
All of it. By the way, I've been saved going on 12 or 13 years this year. Do you still think I have things in my life that need to be changed?
Yes.
Yeah. A whole lot.
No.
But you know what most people think, Pastor? I'm just going to put it in neutral. I'm saved now. We're going to coast out of here to eternity. I ain't the God of that Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know what God you have, but let me introduce you to the King James Bible. Yes. The God of the King James Bible.
Yes.
You go, man, you really hit on that King James Bible a lot. Well, let me just share a story with you real quick. I was in jail and prison in 3 different states. Told you that I'd never heard of Jesus Christ outside of a curse word until I started going to institutions, okay? I was in Florida in prison down there for armed robbery. And as I'm sitting there, a gentleman came up to me. He said, would you like to come to Bible study? No, I would not. I don't need a crutch. I don't need something to lean on. I don't need your Jesus because you're telling me how much he can change your life, yet you're doing the same things over and over again. Nothing's changing you. Why do I want that? And he just said, come and hear what I have to say. And so I did. I sat there on that bench. And brother, he picked up a King James Bible. And he opened that, brother. And when he started preaching, the tears started rolling down my face. And for the first time in decades, I felt my conscience come back to life. And I didn't know how to handle it. It scared me because I was like, what is this? And I ran to the psych doctor. I said, help me. I feel like I want to kill myself and I can't sleep. And I just, you know what I did? I went out there and clouded my mind with all that nonsense because I couldn't handle the Holy Ghost. While I'm in prison in Florida, I was working in the mess hall, the kitchen. And the correction officer came up. He said, Maury. I said, yeah. He said, pack it up. I go, what do you mean pack it up? I'm not going home. He says, no, you've been indicted up in New York. You got to go face those charges in New York. First degree armed robbery, second degree armed robbery, criminal mischief, criminal possession of a weapon, and assault with intent to cause bodily injury. I got indicted. And the federal government came and got me. And they picked me up and they flew me from Florida to New York to face those charges. By the way, every single Wednesday night, there's airplanes that are going across the United States. They're flying inmates across the United States to different prisons. And they got me up in New York. And I stood there in front of the judge. And he said, Mr. Maury, the DA is offering you 12 and a half to 25 years. I said, sir, I'm not pleading guilty to that. My lawyer looks at me and he goes, why don't you take that? That'd be something good for you. I said, man, Your Honor, I need to fire him. I said, me and him aren't going to get along. And so I ended up getting a new lawyer. And as I'm sitting there waiting for trial, a young man came up to me and said, hey, man, we have a Bible study every night. I can't remember if it was a Tuesday night or something. He goes, would you like to come to the Bible study? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'll go. And I went. And the man picked up a NIV. Just kidding. Just kidding. He picked up a King James Bible.
Hang on.
And he started teaching and preaching about that.
Amen.
And again, the tears. Something moving inside of it. Not an outward thing. Something moving on the inward
Amen.
Parts.
Amen.
Where does God say he wants the truth?
Amen.
On the inward parts.
Right.
The Holy Ghost of God was stirring up inside of me.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
I went and got a Bible. I wanted to start reading, so I did. And I remember walking across Foxtrot South, and they had these tiers. And I'm walking across there, and I just looked up. I took the deepest breath I ever took in my entire life. I've never taken one since. And it was the biggest, best breath of air I ever took in my life. And I just said, God, whoever you are, because at this point I had no clue who this God is. Whoever you are, my hands from this point on are in your life. Or my life is in your hands. And I just exhaled. Waiting for trial, they come 7.5 to 15 years was their next offer. I said, no, we'll go to trial. And so as we go in a few months later, we go and pick jury. As I'm sitting in the bullpen waiting to go pick jury, my lawyer came up and said, look, they'll give you a determinant 5 years right now if you'll plead guilty. I said, absolutely, I'll plead guilty all day long for that. Give me it. And so I went back to my cell, man. I was excited. I was happy. And all the men were like, man, you must be going home. I said, no, I'm going upstate for 5 years. They're like, what? You're happy? I'm like, man, I was facing 12 and a half to 25 years. 5 years, I could do that standing on my head. And as I stood in front of the judge, they brought me out. And I'm like, shackles and handcuffs. Shing, 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 shing. I'm standing there in front of the judge. He said, Mr. Maury, in order for me to give you this plea bargain, you have to plead guilty to all things known and unknown. Man, they just offered me a good deal. I'm going to plead to anything they want me to plead to.
Come on.
And as I stood there with my mouth, I want you to hear me. As I stood there with my mouth, I said I'm guilty. But you know what I said in my heart? Not guilty. And that's how people are playing with salvation today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're making a profession with their mouth. Wonder why they stayed the same. Why nothing's changing in their life. They've made a profession. I don't know about you, but from what I can read in the Bible, a profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is.
Right. Right. Come on.
I get sentenced. I go upstate. I get to working, doing things. A guy says, hey, man, on Thursday night, they do a Bible study. Would you come and hear this Bible study? There's a man who comes in. They call him The Rock. I was like, The Rock? What a cornball name that is. I mean, what in the world kind of name do you give somebody, The Rock? That is stupid, you know what I mean? And so they said, yeah, come here and preach. I said, all right, I'll come in. So I go in there. I got a few of my homeboys with me because we roll together as gang. That's what we do. We always have some people with us. And so I got my homeboys in there with me, and we're sitting in there, and this young man, now he was a young man back then, Pete Godano from Old Time Baptist Church, is playing music, and he's playing music. He gets done playing the music, and that back door opens up. Bang. I look back, like, what the? This big old dude, he's about 320 pounds, man. Big old guy comes in. His Bible's as big as his hand. I mean, this thing is monster. He's got a cane, and he's walking. It's Pastor Lou Godano from Old Time Baptist Church. What a man. What a man. That man came walking up to the pulpit, man, and he took his cane and he hung it on the side of that pew. Ka-klam. And there's about 70 inmates sitting there. He took his Bible and he slammed it. He said, boom! And he just stood there and he screw-faced everybody. He just stared everybody in their eyes. Without saying a word, he proceeded to open the King James Bible and preach that. And 70 men got broken in that place. The Holy Ghost of God dropped in that place, brother. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, there was a tear in every one of those men's eyes, and they had no clue what was hitting them. And you wonder why. I tell you why I stand on the King James Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it was the King James Bible that woke me up,
mm-hmm.
woke my conscience up, and woke me up to where I was in God's eyes. It wasn't what man's little, you know, say this and do this and pray this, stand on your head and do that, do 15 push-ups, do a jumping jack there, get up top there, do a backflip, and you'll be okay. Oh, no. This is what showed me what I needed for salvation.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got saved at a preaching meeting, and I'm closing with this. I only got through those few verses. That's not my whole message, but God had other plans.
Yeah.
At a preacher's meeting, I had just realized that we were lost. Me and my wife come to the realization that we were lost. We needed Jesus. We were around church people that were saved, born-again people. I mean, people that were... It's hard to find that today in churches. It just is anymore.
Sure.
It's a rarity, brother, to go around and find saved people in a church.
That's it.
But we were sitting there, and we realized that we were lost by looking at these people and seeing Jesus Christ in them. And I remember being on such Holy Ghost conviction that I was afraid to eat. I was afraid to get in the car. I was afraid that I was going to die before I got saved. I mean, I was shook. And I'm not one to get afraid of anything. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But I was shook to the core when the Holy Ghost started rattling my cage. I was shook to the core when he hung my feet over hell. I was shook to the core when he showed me exactly where I was and who I was going to be. You know, was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah, Isaiah maybe it was? He said that when he seen who he was turned inside out. I was turned inside out by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God showed me what I was. And clearly, for the first time in my life, me and God were looking at each other. And you know what I didn't have? I no longer had an excuse for the things that I was doing. I no longer had an excuse to live the way I live. I no longer had an excuse to blame my mother for her abuse. I no longer had an excuse for that man and doing what he'd done to me. I no longer had an excuse. It was me and the Holy Ghost, and he was dealing with my soul from this Bible. It wasn't dealing my soul anywhere else but this wonderful Bible. And you know what happened? I ended up repenting that day and getting saved. Hallelujah. You know where I was? I was in front of my couch, 90 and a half East Main Street, at home. You know who's leading me through the Romans Road? Nobody. The Holy Ghost did a good job doing that. That's just how it is. That's the reality. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're having doubts, Ask God to hand you over hell for a little bit.
Yeah.
Teach them the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to examine yourself.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? Brother, the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yeah.
A person can't be saved until they realize they're lost.
Yeah.
When they realize they're lost, he's standing right there, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
I often tell people this. I said, look, if you examine yourself, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to find Jesus. But if you examine yourself and Christ isn't there, he can be.
Yeah.
He can be.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
The good news, in spite of all we've done, in spite of all we have ever said, in spite of all that we've ever thought, in spite of being his enemy, in spite of every thought we've ever thought, in spite of everything that we thought we'd done against people, the good news is that Jesus Christ forgives.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He takes us from being prisoners to being kings.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know if that gets you excited, but it sure gets me excited. And I thank God for what he's done in my life. How about it today? Don't you want that?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Christian, if you're struggling in here, guess what? He can still whisper those sweet words in your ears, peace be still.
Amen.
He says, come to me.
Yeah.
Look, if your reading is cold, if your prayer life is cold, if you're only coming to church because you're just doing this religious nonsense, hey, you can get back to that relationship with him.
Yeah.
You can just come to him and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for such and such. Because he says if you ask for forgiveness, he'll do it.
Right.
Why live on the outside when you can live on the inside? What does James chapter 4, 8 say? Draw nigh.
Yeah.
Anybody know what that word nigh means?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to say close, and it does not mean close. Let me see if I can get an example here. Are these chairs connected?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody can see me. Right now, I am close to those chairs. But there's what? There's something in between me and those chairs. I can't get to them. To be nigh means this. There's nothing in between me and those chairs. And God didn't say draw close to him. He said draw nigh to him. That means whatever's in between you and him, you confess it, get it out. He says if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. I don't know if you want the closest of Jesus Christ, but I sure do. I want to be like John, brother. And you know what I want to do? I want to put my head on his breast and hear his heartbeat. How many of us desire that? It's one of my prayers.
Amen.
Lord, I want to hear your heartbeat.
Yes.
He says, go ahead and lay your head on my Bible and you'll hear
Amen.
My heart.
Amen.
Don't you want that, Christian? You tired of being cold out there? Tired of feeling like an outcast? Tired of feeling like a wanderer? You don't have to be. He's already made it right.
Right.
He just wants you to come.
No, no more.
How about it, lost person, if you're doubting your salvation? Don't have to be. Today's the day of salvation.
That's right. Come on.
You don't have to walk out of here wondering. You know what the Bible says? You can raise holy hands without what? Wrath or doubting.
Right.
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 I mean, I no longer have to be plagued by those doubts. That's right. When the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's right.
And if that's where you are today, get it right. Here's the problem, and I'm closing with this. That's a typical preacher saying.
Yeah.
The problem today is people are too worried about what somebody's going to think about them.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Trust me. I know. Our society is driven by what other people think about them.
Yeah.
In church or out of church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid, well, I told people I got saved, or I told them this, and they're so afraid to get it right with God because they're afraid of what somebody else. Do you know what's sad? That there's people in hell today who worried about what somebody thought of them and not what God thought of them.
Amen.
There's a Christian today who's suffering because they worry about what somebody else thinks about them. We live in a society, supposedly, where people say, I don't care what that person thinks of me. That's a lie.
Because
you live your life according to what other people think of you.
Yeah.
How do you know that? I watch the influence of the music. I watch the influence of an unchurched people. I watch the influence of the world on church people today.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're afraid to stand.
Mm-hmm.
My son in college, the abuse he's had to take would blow your minds if I had the time to stand here and tell you. Why? Because he chose to stand for the things of Christ and not get into the world.
Amen. Amen.
It's good.
Amen.
Twisted, brother. Tore up. He'd come home in tears. I said, well, look, here's what we can do. We can go ahead, we can grab a pipe wrench, and we can go there, and Daniel, take your teeth out. Or we can handle it God's way. And he's in tears, and he's hurting, and some bad things are happening to him. He said, Dad, we'll just let God handle it. After 2 years of going through that, brother, God has now given him favor with those same people.
Amen.
How about it, young people? Where will you stand? Under the influence of somebody else or the influence of the Holy Ghost? Who are you worried about what they're thinking of you? You know what I care about when somebody thinks of me? When they start paying my bills.
Yeah.
When you come to my house and start paying my bills and feed my family, then I'll care about what you think of me.
Right. Sure.
But until then, I won't. How about it? Is that what's stopping you from coming today? Don't let it.
No.
I'm done, brother.